Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, we're Jeremy and Joe. AJ's in for BMAC today. What's up, AJ? This is the second time I've seen AJ in 5 days.
Wow. Oh, the Cougs again?
Hey, he was wearing his blue. He was sad, though, like me. I've seen AJ more in the last 5 days than I've seen you.
That's true.
Yeah.
I see you on camera. You don't see me.
Your camera adds 15 pounds.
For who? Both?
How many cameras are on you? Beat you to the joke. Beat you to the punchline. Lots to get to today, though. Kevin Durant makes his Rocket debut. Do you think they're intentionally... Where are they at today? Are they playing at home? I don't know. AJ, you know basketball. Are they playing at home?
Yeah, the Rockets? So.
Okay.
They're playing at home. They're hosting the Utah Jazz.
Like, why is he playing today and not Monday?
Because it's a home game.
Monday was a home game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, then I don't know.
Yeah, like, why is Durant playing today but didn't play on Monday? Are they not staggering yet. Some guys? Like, is there going to be some guys that don't play today?
Probably.
Play Monday?
Yeah, I would guess so.
Some of the starters, you think?
Well, I guess, did Tari play in the first game?
Yeah.
So then Tari's probably out today.
Not a starter.
Well, yeah, but I think that's kind of the rotation in the regular season. For off this, for back-to-backs.
Yeah.
I think Durant's off one game, Tari's off the other game in back-to-backs.
So they're using a Monday, Wednesday as a back-to-back practice?
In preseason, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He didn't play Monday, but he's playing today. Yeah, but Kevin Durant will make his Houston Rocket debut later tonight. Are you going to watch?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to DVR and watch it tomorrow, probably.
Well, that's what I'm going to do as well. But I wasn't going to watch any preseason games, and then you wanted to talk about it on the air. So
I've guilted you into it?
No, you've backed me into a corner. I have to be prepared.
Well, I mean, who else is going to listen to the hyperbolic things that Ryan Holland says?
I don't know. It's better than Doug Gottlieb, at least. That's all I got. Doug Gottlieb was the second candidate, for those that don't know.
I was wondering if you knew that.
Yeah, Doug Gottlieb was the second choice.
Because I'm not sure I'm supposed to know that.
I was not supposed to know that, but I don't work at that station anymore, so it's okay. The people that told me.
See, I heard that there was four.
I just don't know. I don't remember who the other two were.
I know one more. I don't remember the fourth one, though. The other one was Mario Elie.
That's right.
It was Hollins, Gottlieb, Elie, and then there was a fourth one. I can't remember. I think he was also a random. Like, I don't think he had ties to the Rockets. Yeah.
It wasn't like Max or anything like that.
What?
Vernon Maxwell?
No. No, it was a guy who didn't have ties. Like, Hollins didn't have a tie, Gottlieb didn't have a tie. I think there was another guy who didn't have a tie, and then Elie.
If Doug Gottlieb was the color commentator, would he still be coaching college basketball?
No. No. Is he still the coach there, right?
Yeah, I don't think he got fired.
Is
yet.
He still doing his show?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. Like, I should just go into college basketball coaching and then continue to do this.
You think Kelvin would give you a job?
I mean, I could win one game. I mean, didn't Gottlieb win one game last year?
Yeah.
I could win one game. I could figure out a way to win one game.
I Googled Doug Gottlieb, and the lead story from the Green Bay Press Gazette is Doug Gottlieb and his UWGB players believe a big turnaround could be on the horizon.
I mean, if they win three games, they've won 300% of their games for the year before. But we'll talk about some of the Astros, too. I did some homework on these free agent starting pitchers, so we'll discuss that. NFL stuff. I'm tired of this Giannis stuff, too. We'll get to that a little bit later. But you see the big news today in the city of Houston? C.J. Stroud has added to his mantle. He has added to his trophy case. C.J. Stroud is the greatest offensive player in the AFC this week.
He is.
He is the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's back, baby. C.J. Stroud, top three quarterback in the NFL.
Too far, Jeremy. Hold up there. But no, it's well-deserved for the way they played this week. I think it takes away that the Offensive Player of the Week has come against the Baltimore Ravens every single week this season, or a Player of the Week every single week this season, except for when they play the Browns.
That's sad.
It's very sad. So can I bet on Matt Stafford for NFC Player of the Week then, this upcoming weekend?
I'm not sure that's something you can find.
I don't know if it is either, but can I make it?
You would have to do that like in the black market.
Yeah.
I'll bet you. I'll bet you Stafford is not the NFC Player of the Week.
What are the odds for doing here?
Straight up.
Straight up, what do you want to wager?
I mean, you should be giving me odds. The Ravens give up the player of the week every week.
I know,
sans
I'm picking one player out of the entire NFC.
Yeah.
It's one versus the field.
But you're attacking the Ravens, though.
I am. What do you want to wager?
I don't know. You tell me.
Can I pick it? Can I alter it a little bit?
No.
Can I go Stafford or Puka?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
I was like, can I just increase my odds just a little bit? Give me Stafford or Puka.
I've been finding some Puka ex-girlfriend stuff.
Okay.
On TikTok. He's apparently he's a
serial dater?
I think he's, I don't know if it's that, but he's like a, you know, he's a dad. He's a dad or soon to be dad.
Okay.
And this ex-girlfriend's like, yeah, he's the worst. He's a narcissist. And he's like, we need a paternity test. I'm going to take all his money type of thing.
That's not good.
No, I don't really care.
You don't want that in your life, though.
I mean, I guess I care a little bit. I feel bad for the, you know, all involved.
We got to care about these players. That's what D'Amico told us.
That's true. Yeah, we shouldn't be talking about this gossip because we should be looking out for the best interest of the narcissist, Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to be a narcissist, though, to be the best in the world at the wide receiver position in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they're only the biggest divas in the history of the sport. So yeah. Yes.
Like, if you gave me, like, all things equal, receiver A is a narcissist, receiver B is not a narcissist, which of the two would you take? I think I'm taking the narcissist. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to give me the best chance to win football games.
I want the guy that wants the ball and thinks he deserves the ball more than everyone else.
Yeah, like, he's going to be terrible with his teammates. He's going to treat his girlfriends poorly, but he's going to help me win football games more than the non-narcissist. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's the worst thing. Maybe that's why he slipped to the fifth round. It's because all those BYU guys didn't like him.
Yeah. Well, it is BYU. You never know. It's not hard to get kicked off that campus. So.
No, he didn't get. I mean, to be fair, he didn't get kicked off. He was injured and ran a slow 40 and, you know, might have had narcissistic behavior. But what do you think the difference is with CJ Stroud? Like, why is he the player of the week now and has had, you know, six quarters of good football versus the first 3 weeks where he was, you know, honeymoon phase, not so good?
Yeah, I think that besides the fact that it was the Ravens defense, like, I think that does have to play a factor into this. It's just the easy stuff in the offense for CJ Stroud. The offensive lines look much better, so he's had much more protection in the last two games. Their pass rate percentage allowed is much lower in these two games than it was the previous three. I think it was around I think it was 30% in this last game, which is pretty good compared to what it had been. So I think it's just the easy stuff, and then the opponent definitely factors in. But the easy stuff has been there, and that's what wasn't there the first three games of the season. He's finding Dalton Schultz. He's finding Nico Collins on easy stuff. Christian Kirk has had a solid role in the offense. So I think it's just the easy button stuff that we were asking for. They've actually able to find and accomplish.
What's the balance here? Is it more what Stroud and the Texans are doing? Is it more that they played the Baltimore Ravens, who have allowed the player of the week in their conference, depending on their opponent, every week except for the Joe Flacco-led Cleveland Browns?
I think I have to go to the Ravens still,
I think so.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I want to say it's all CJ, but it's not. The Baltimore Ravens have given up 35 points per game on average right now. Their defense is atrocious. They're missing all their top guys on defense. It's hard to give full credit. You know, if you're going to do a percentage thing here, it's probably 70-30, I would say. 70% Baltimore defense, 30% CJ and Nick Haley.
I think it's there. Yeah, I think it's there. 70-30 at least. Like, I was going back and forth, like 70-30, 75-25, 6-7. Like, I was having a difficult time going there. But still, like, again, we talked about these the last couple of days. Do you want C.J. Stroud to win an Offensive Player of the Week against a bad defense, or do you want him to not win the Offensive Player of the Week against a bad defense?
It's still a good thing.
You want him to win the Offensive Player of the Week. So it is good. Now, at the same time, you're going to have, you know, half a dozen for every, you know, 12 people, whatever, that are like, well, he's got to do it against a good defense. Yeah, that's valid. Like, I can't sit there and be like, oh, you're negative, you're a pessimist, you're a glass half empty. I can't do that. That's a valid point. He does have to prove it to us and show it to us against a top half defense in the NFL. On the other hand, it is good to be, you know, hopeful and optimistic, and okay, we're right back on track. Swarm, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, like, we didn't take, I mean, how much did we take away from Patrick Mahomes the previous week when the Chiefs were dominating the Ravens?
Not much.
That struggled this week, you know, this season. And they were pretty good against, you know, Jacksonville, but we gave, oh, Patrick Mahomes, he's back. He's back to looking like how he's supposed to look. And so you have to give CJ Stroud the same, you know, agreement there of like he's played very, very well against the worst team in the NFL. He did what was as expected of him in this game. So I don't want to take anything away from him still. He deserves his Player of the Week award. I just want to see him do it again, you know, next Monday night.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock at night.
Unless the Mariners are hosting game 7 of the ALCS, then that game's probably going to get moved.
Yeah.
To win, I don't know. I think it'd be an earlier Monday kickoff.
Yeah, I think they would put it during the day.
Yeah, I think maybe like 5. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. That would be weird. I wouldn't like a day Monday Night Football game.
Yeah.
Would you rather them play at 9 or would you rather them play at 3? Our time.
For our sake? 9.
Selfishly. Yes.
9.
So, I mean, I don't care about anybody else's opinion.
9.
Yeah, me too.
The only people listening will be the Twitchers who hate the Texans.
I already hate day Astro games.
Yeah.
Like, I hate day Astro games. What if there's one of 17 in the middle of our show? That would be terrible. Rocky, I don't think you get kicked off of campus for that. I think that's one of the things that's allowed, but I'm not reading it on the radio. Texter, is Branham a narcissist? 713-780. I don't think so. I don't think I'm a narcissist. I don't believe so. A little backup here would be good, guys.
I was just going to let you sit there for a second. No, I wouldn't say that. No, not at all.
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm a narcissist. The biggest difference, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. I do think that Stroud's playing the position better in the last 6 quarters than he did in the first 3.5 quarters. I actually saw some of this stuff in the game against Jacksonville and mentioned it whenever we did the film Don't Lie. Like, he's stepping up in the pocket more. He's getting rid of the football quicker. There were some positives I saw in the Jacksonville game where, like, I think he could turn the corner here relatively soon. Now, I didn't think he was going to win the AFC Offensive Player of the Week in 2 weeks, but he did. So, like, you have seen him start to turn the corner. I think there is, like, a comfort level that is beginning to show with Nick Haley. Now, does the opponent soften that? Does it make it easier? I do think that is the case, but that's good. Like, it's how you build a little bit of momentum. It's how you build a little bit of confidence in the offense, how you get your swagger back. So, yeah, I think that to me is the biggest difference. I agree with you. All right, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We got a lot to get to today. Nick Caserio, he had a lot to say. He did a press conference yesterday. He had a lot to say, but did he say anything? That's always the worry with Nick Caserio. We'll get to a mailbag. We'll discuss the Astros, Rockets, all that good stuff a little bit later as well. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat, though. We didn't get to this yesterday. What are things that happened on Sunday, or even to this point? It's a bye week. It's a good time to talk about this. What through 5 games, what are things that people aren't talking about enough? What are you not ignoring in victory, what you wouldn't in defeat? 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio on TikTok. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham there. You can find us on Twitter at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975 and ESPN 925. First a moment, though, on HR&P. Human Resources and Payroll love me some HR&P. I sent them an email last week looking for a little bit of information. Quick to respond. Easy to understand. Thank you, HR&P. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley. Go Cougs. So you know you're in good hands. Chris Fisher over there. Little Granado. They have great people at HR&P. You're going to love the people over there. But business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you in HR compliance. They can help you in benefits administration, payroll. You don't want to do your payroll anymore. You're not a numbers guy. I get it. Onboarding. You don't want to have to deal with new employees. Totally understand. HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. Plus, they're just a good teammate to have on your side. They're going to be staying up to with the trends on what's going on in the business world, what you need to know as a business owner. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P is going to find a way to help. They do it in a way that you need. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You're going to love that. But their service, phenomenal. You're going to fall in love with that service too. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you, and then they know the needs of your business. So give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
You know what's awesome? You know what's a lot of fun? The Dewberry Farm Fall Festival. Giving away a family four-pack of VIP tickets to the Dewberry Farm Fall Festival. This comes with an attraction passport, which is a $25 value for attractions that require an additional purchase. Souvenir Halloween cup, refillable Halloween punch, and dedicated VIP entrance to the farm. Caller number 3-713-780-3776. Family four-pack of VIP tickets to the Dewberry Farm Fall Festival coming your way. It's a blast. Good old time. Good old family fun. You're going to have a great time. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat, Joe. What were some things? And look, you could even go first five games of the year if you want. You had some positive momentum. You've won two games. But what are some things that have stood out to you that isn't either A, being talked enough, or should not be ignored in victory, or this little two-game winning streak? What stands out to you?
So the only thing from this last game specifically, there was only one play that, like, to me, really stood out. There was another protection breakdown in which C.J. Stroud was sacked within like a half a second.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's the two guys came free on the right side. Woody Marks clearly didn't know who to block. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the only one where it's like, I don't love seeing that 2 weeks in a row. Coming off the Titans game where there's clearly a miscommunication again. Something's going on there. So that's something I want to keep an eye on, because that, to me, seems like with C.J. having control of the line of scrimmage now instead of the center doing it on like the previous 2 years, we're 2 weeks in a row, and maybe we have to look back at the first three games of the season and see if we see it there as well. That was the one play that stood out in this game where I'm like, I didn't like that.
Stroud kind of yelled at Woody Marks too, which I actually like. Yeah. I don't need my quarterback having secret handshakes and being BFFs with every player on the team. You know what I want from my quarterback? I want a guy who leads. I want him to kind of be a jerk. Like, I want you to get the most out of your teammates. And a lot of times you need to be the bad cop. A lot of times you need to be a little mean. Not everybody loved Troy Aikman in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Not everybody loved Troy Aikman in Dallas. Not everybody loved Tom Brady in New England. Tom Brady would yell at everybody and anybody because he's a little whiny bee. A lot of times these great, like, is Mahomes friendly with every single receiver on that team? Probably not.
No.
He yells at Kelsey. So I actually like seeing that from C.J. Stroud. A little bit of dog, a little bit of leadership. But no, that did stand out. Woody Marks missed the call there. Like, you're supposed to chip.
But there was two guys that came free.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, I think William Marks did miss something there. But at the same time, it feels like there was still a breakdown beyond just Woody.
That's
not
fair.
Knowing where to go. Because he clearly didn't know what to go. Like, you could see his feet. He was kind of, you know, stutter stepping, trying to figure out where to go.
You're acting like George Springer right now.
I know. Hey, that's mean. That was uncalled for.
Sometimes I want my one chair on the radio to be a little bit of a jerk. I want him to be a little bit of a leader.
Just because George Springer's team choked last night doesn't mean to take shots at him. It wasn't his fault.
It's not because they lost.
That was mean.
I just went on a rant that I don't need people to be nice.
I started local radio being super nice. When we would cut up George Springer interviews on the Charlie Polillo show, we would edit them out.
That is nice.
Yeah, we would make George sound nice.
That is nice. Well, I mean, does he sound mean because he stutters?
He would sound crisp.
Okay. Yeah, nice wasn't the right word.
It wasn't. All
right. Just because you stutter doesn't mean you're a jerk, Joe.
Let's revisit this narcissist text.
That has nothing to do with narcissism.
I know it doesn't.
Well, being a jerk or, you know, a bad word, maybe. I would have gotten the starters out of series early, maybe two.
Okay, yeah.
In this Baltimore game.
You stand on that pretty regularly. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need a guy getting hurt whenever I'm up four touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That seems very foolish. If C.J. Stroud tears his ACL whenever you're up by 28, think of the outcry. And that thing, it bothers me. It bothers me that you would wait for the injury to happen to have outcry as opposed to outcrying in the moment. Like, if that is possible to happen, then you should be talking about it in the moment, not waiting for somebody to get hurt. It's revisionist history. It's hindsight 2020. I don't like to play the revisionist history game. I don't like to play the hindsight 2020 game. I don't like to Monday morning quarterback. It's why a lot of times I say, well, I want this in this moment. I might be wrong, but a lot of people are scared to say it in this moment because they don't want to be wrong, but I'd rather be wrong than be revisionist.
My only argument against that is just there was so much good momentum happening in this game with the offense that just I like to keep pouring it on. Keep the good vibes rolling into the bye week. Yes, you're risking injury there.
Yeah, but like, what good is momentum into a bye?
Just more good tape. More good tape for the offense.
Good tape greater than CJ Stroud's ACL.
No, it's not, but that's the only argument against it. Because you're not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you. So I'm just giving the only argument against it that DeMeco would probably give you if you asked him that question.
Oh, DeMeco leaves him in way too long. This is a problem that I have with DeMeco.
Yeah, this isn't something that we've discussed for the first time.
No.
So
no.
I'm not surprised to hear that this one is one of your takeaways.
He's gonna get he already got a dude hurt. I can't remember who it was. He had somebody. It might have been Tank. I think it was Tank. It wasn't the knee or the leg break. I think it was the whenever he had the concussion.
Oh yeah.
He got a concussion when they're up like 21 points with like 5 minutes to play.
Yeah.
And it's like people gave him a free pass because they like give him cookies and stuff. Like, how is that acceptable? Like, they should not be in the game up multiple possessions. And this, honestly, it's not even a DeMeco thing. This is an NFL coach thing. Like, they had their starters taking the victory formation snaps up 28. Why?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
They're like,
that's what your backups are for.
They're hardos. It's weird. Yeah.
But I think hardo is the right word. That's probably the reason why.
Yeah, but it could also be dumb.
Agreed, yeah. But that's very on brand for the NFL.
True.
What stood out for anything else from this game? Because there's so much good stuff. Like what?
Nick Chubb has bad hands.
Okay, that's not surprising.
He's got brick hands.
I mean, he wasn't like a pass catcher in Cleveland.
No,
so that's not much of a surprise.
No, it's not a surprise, but it stands out that he has brick hands. Christian Harris being a healthy and active stood out to me.
Yeah, I think he just I'm. He feels like one of those deadline moves where you're trading a seventh and a Christian Harris for a sixth.
I just wonder if he even has that value.
Yeah, he might not.
Because he's not playing now. He didn't play at all almost last year. He's in the final year of his contract. Like, yeah. I'm not even sure he has late round pick swap value.
Gosh, what a fall off.
He might just be cut.
Yeah. I mean, he's a healthy scratch. It's like Damian Pierce until this last week. These were guys who, when they first got here, felt like they were going to be impactful players. I mean, think back to Christian Harris. The pick six against Joe Flacco in the playoff game. And that was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
It's such a fall for him. And I don't think it's the wrong decision. Like, I like what we're seeing from EJ Speed and Azeez and even Henry Toto, like, even though he's got some tackling issues. I don't know if Christian Harris is worth playing over those guys.
Yeah, they very clearly don't trust Christian Harris. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Harris is a better talent than Henry Toto. But DeMeco Ryan, look, they have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. I'm not going to be critical of who they're playing on defense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's being critical of a batting order whenever you lead the league in runs. Like, I'm not going to do it. If you have the number one scoring defense in the NFL, I'm not going to criticize who you are playing. Because if the number one scoring defense in the NFL is telling me that Christian Harris shouldn't be on the football field, I'm going to take their word. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take their word on that. So I give them 100% the benefit of the doubt there. So... And you're going to have to get guys back here pretty soon. Like, DeNico Autry, his 21-day window's open. I think that it expires, like, the Monday after the Monday night game against Seattle. And that's if he doesn't get activated for that game. The rookie, his window is open. So you're going to have to create spots on the 53. And who's in jeopardy when you're creating spots on the 53?
The guys who are healthy scratches.
Guys who are healthy and actives. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a very real chance that Christian Harris could be literally cut in the next 3 weeks.
It wouldn't shock me.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. It wouldn't. And even if it's not in the next 3 weeks, it's, you know, maybe when Foley Fatukasi comes back from injured reserve in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 6 weeks, whenever he comes back. So, yeah, that one still feels... That does feel inevitable at this point, that as you're cutting from your roster, mm-hmm. if you've got a linebacker who's clearly not part of your plans, you're going to move on. Like, yep. You got to make a roster spot somewhere. A
couple other things I had. Dalton Schultz starting to play with a little dog in him.
Good.
Starting to block a little bit.
That's
nice. A little
bit
of a nasty streak from Dalton Schultz. While I criticized Chubb's hands, he did have a little bounce in this game. He had a little spring. Now, maybe it's the Ravens' defense, but a little spring there. I like what I see from MJ Stewart.
Good.
I think it's an upgrade over CJ Gardner-Johnson.
He's replacing him well.
Yeah. I tip my cap to Kaimi. Very good in kickoffs in the Baltimore game. He's been a little shaky this season on kickoffs, specifically. Like, you're kicking into the end zone, you're gifting field position there, kicks mm-hmm. one out of bounds. Like, there's a very specific target you're trying to hit now. It's become a pinpoint thing on kickoffs. He was pretty good. He was pretty good at it against Baltimore.
That's good.
Pretty good. Emi's pretty good. He was pretty good in that game. Hadn't been pretty good on the year. And then this long snapper, he's no John Weeks, but you know what they say, don't replace legends.
Is it getting any better?
No, he still snaps the ball high, man.
Yeah.
Tommy Townsend on these field goals and extra points is catching the ball at his face mask.
That's not good. That feels like that's going to bite the Texans.
They're going to get a field goal blocked because of a high snap in a critical situation. It's just what I see. You know,
shouldn't have moved on.
These old eyes don't fail me.
John Weeks, legend.
I don't think that it was them.
You think it was John?
I think it was Weeks.
He's like, I've lived in Houston for too long.
He's like, get me out to San Fran. It's too warm and humid for my rugged skin. You know? Like,
yeah.
I'd rather live in Houston than San Francisco, though.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe he thought it was a better chance to get a ring. He's never got a ring. You know what these old veterans do? Is they go to these teams where they have a better chance to win a ring. Do long snappers do that?
Probably not, but maybe.
Maybe long snappers are trying to catch on with a team that has a better chance to win it all. I mean, what's the one thing that's eluding John Weeks? He's got great barbecue pits. He's got, you know, he looks like a fire extinguisher or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the one thing eluding him in his career?
A ring.
He's made money, you know? He's made at least $1.5 million for the last decade. What's the one thing that's eluding him?
He's kind of made more than that, right?
Yeah, at least.
It's been in the NFL since 2010.
Yeah, but he probably wasn't getting $1 million early in his career, right? Because 2010 was the league minimum, $1 million. I don't think so.
No.
For a long snapper. It was probably like high six figures. It's probably $700,000, $800,000, $900,000.
Yeah, I mean, his contract in San Francisco is 1.4.
Yeah, so early in his career is probably $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so he's probably made like $10 million.
So he's probably made on average like
life.
Maybe $1.25 million on average. Eh, maybe like $1.1 million.
Maybe that's right.
And he's been in the league for 10 years?
Yeah.
So he's made $11 million?
15 years.
Oh, 15 years? So yeah. He's made roughly 15, like $17.5 million.
His career earnings are 15.4.
We're pretty good at being able to project how much long snappers
maybe
make.
That's what I should focus Joseph on. It's just be a long snapper. That's all we're going to do. We're going to work on that. You're not going to do anything else.
Why not?
You're not going to be a left tackle. You're going to be 5'6".
Like, no
offense.
You're
not going to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're not going to be a running back, a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Long snapper.
Yeah.
You can make $15 million.
Like, they can go have their fun in Pee Wee and Little League and
yeah.
play their games. Like, yeah.
We're going to snap.
Like, there's no chance Branham Baby is going to play professional sports unless he learns to pitch left-handed.
Yeah.
Or it's golf. Or I wouldn't even say he's got a chance to be a long snapper. I wouldn't even say that. If he takes after me, my brittle bones, he's got no chance.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, he's breaking everything.
Yeah, the little gunner is going to take his head off.
Yeah, but you're not getting hit that much.
No, they hit you, man.
In the NFL, they can't.
They hit you. Yeah, I watch this all 22. I watch punter footage. I watch punter film.
They
get hit.
Yeah, that's probably best chance to go pro in a sport is long snapping. Maybe tennis.
No, your kid has no chance to be a good tennis player.
I don't think so either, but he loves it. He's already obsessed. I don't understand.
Branham Baby's only chance to be a professional athlete, and again, it's very, very slim, and it ain't happening. It would be golf.
Yeah. I mean, Altuve's 5'6".
Yeah. That's true.
So.
Yeah, but he's also very fast. Yeah,
that's true.
And he hit himself off the island.
That's true. But I could probably get my son to be a better base runner than Altuve. So maybe, maybe he's not as fast.
He might already be.
But he's more disciplined.
He might already be that. Anything else that you have?
No. I mean, from this last game, no. All this game was flawless, basically.
This junkie on the text line, Branham Baby and Little Joe are destined to be media members. I would not let Branham Baby be a media member.
Yeah, I'm going to try to
avoid
at all costs.
People come to me and be like, hey, can you give me advice on this career? But yeah, do something else.
Yeah.
Go to law school. Go be a doctor. Go be a nurse.
Go to trade school.
Yeah.
I have a podcast on the side. Everyone's got one.
Yeah, let that be your hobby. Yeah. Didn't Tua get concussed from the snap?
That's Kyler.
That Kyler thing was weird, man. Like, there was no evidence of a concussion prior to that. Mm-hmm. He takes just a normal snap to the dome and looks like he got knocked into last week.
I mean, how fast is a snap?
Not very fast.
20 miles an hour?
And again, long snappers are not sinners. Long snappers are snapping with a little oomph and authority.
Yeah.
Like a sinner is not going to, you know, heave a snap back to you when you're in the gun.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Are they like 4 miles an hour?
Nah, I mean, they're faster than that. Probably like 10.
Not concussion worthy.
No.
But he looked concussed.
He looked lost, man. He looked so lost.
I think he was just startled.
I think he was legit concussed. Maybe something happened earlier in the game and they just didn't pick up on it. All right, 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. When we return, Nick Castorio had a lot to say, too. Did he make himself out to be a fool again? Is he pretending like he doesn't know what windows are and what needs are? He talked yesterday, had a lot to say. We'll discuss next. He says they're in a good spot entering the bye. Is he right? 713-780-3776. 3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Coming up on October 25th and the 26th, we'll be headed to ESPN Bet at LaBerge Lake Charles for the first time this year. Making four trips out there this year. We'll be checking out their new VIP fan cave section that's available for booking. Their all-new menu items, their new chef, and we'll be watching all the football that we can watch. Cannot wait to get out there in December for college football championship weekend, as well as the first round of the playoffs. It's an excellent environment for UFC, like this last weekend, UFC 320, even when the fight's last, 20 seconds, it's still a great time. Hear the roar of the crowd. It's always a good time there for a UFC fight. All their odds are out right now for the World Series, the MLB playoff series. So if you want to get there, make a little wager before the NLCS and the ALCS get underway, as we've got four elimination games going on. It's probably the best time to do it. Plus, you can get your NBA season-long bets in right now, and you can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card. They also offer the chance to place wagers on all of the Houston area teams. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. So Nick Caserio is making the rounds. He met with the media yesterday. He did his normal weekly hit with Rock and Roll and John Harris. And this is from his press conference yesterday. He says that the Texans are in a good spot entering the bye. Do you agree with that? 2-3 entering the bye, are they in a good spot?
No, I don't think I can say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that either.
Just because the momentum's heading in the right direction. But the reason why you're not in a good spot is because of what's happening in front of you. You have two teams in your division that are 4-1. So it's hard to say that you're in a good spot when your division is this good, this early, and making the playoffs feels like it's a real challenge. So I would say no, they're not in a good spot.
I mean, the odds are they miss the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. That's not a good spot. Like, if you would have told anybody at the start of the year you're going to be 2-3 going into the bye, how do you feel about that? You wouldn't be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. I think I had them at 3-2, if memory serves, going into the bye. I might have even had them at 4-1. I think I might have had them at 4-1 entering the bye. Because I had them beating the Rams in L.A., which maybe was foolish of me. I had them beating Tampa at home. I had them beating Jacksonville on the road, because Jacksonville was Jacksonville, and I had them losing to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I had them beating the Titans, of course. So I did have them at 4-1 during the bye.
I think I had them at 3-2. I wouldn't have been surprised if they were 2-3. And so while my prediction's not necessarily off, it's the way that it looked the first three games is much different than I expected. Because I think the Rams was a toss-up. I mean, and especially it's hard when we were probably making these predictions. It was pretty unknown if, Matt Stafford was going to play in those games. But the way it was trending at the time during training camp. So I think it's not far off from what we should have expected, but how you got here is what's unexpected. It's the Jacksonville loss.
Even 2-3, I mean, I had them at 4-1, I would have been okay with 3-2. Like 2-3, I don't think you're in a good spot at all. Like this text you're saying, good spot, isn't that a losing record? Yeah, like 2-3 is not a good spot.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, it's a good spot after if you take the 0-3 into play.
Yeah, and that's the glass half full view, right? Is, well, we could have been 0-4, 0-5 if Lamar was healthy, but we beat a bad Tennessee team that we didn't really score until the fourth quarter, but that we started having momentum there, and then we crushed Baltimore. So that's why they would be, in theory, in a good spot. I don't agree. I think they're in a bad spot.
Yeah. Here's some more with Nick Caserio, who doesn't know what windows are and doesn't know what drafting by need is. Here's the latest with Joe Mixon from Nick Caserio.
Probably over the next few weeks, we'll probably have a better idea. He's making progress, so I wouldn't put a particular timetable on it. So I think over the next three or four weeks, probably get a little more information here, kind of see how he's progressing, but taking one day at a time. But I think once we kind of get to that period, probably have a better sense of which way it's going to go for the duration of the year.
There you go. Three or four weeks away before they know anything.
Yeah, he ain't playing this year.
He doesn't sound good.
No. I mean, maybe if we had any idea what the injury was, I would feel differently. Like if we had any clue, like if it was a the worst turf toe known to mankind. If it was a torn ACL, partially torn MCL. If we had any clue what it was, plantar fasciitis, whatever.
Yeah.
Then I'd feel differently. But 3 or 4 weeks away, I mean, where are you in 3 or 4 weeks? I think that's the question. Like, if you run the table here against Seattle, San Francisco, and the Broncos, and you've really turned your season around here, and you know you're 5-3 going to the Jacksonville game, well, maybe you feel a little bit different. But I don't think the season's going to play out that way. I think they're most likely to go 2-2 over the next 4 games, and then you're another 3 or 4 weeks away from getting him back. I mean, he hasn't played football since January.
Yeah, but are you in a spot where, like, you're not going to play him because you're trying to preserve him for the next year? Like, none of his salary is guaranteed next year. Do you think he's a Houston Texan next year?
I don't think he's a Houston Texan next year, but there just becomes a, if Woody Marks excels and your season's over, why would you change that? You know, like, if you want more Woody Marks, see more of what you have in the future, you know, so you don't have to, if you want to go into the offseason knowing what you have at running back. And not worried about the draft, not worried about free agency. Because, like, there's going to be names out there in free agency that are very attractive to the Houston Texans. You're going to have guys like Etienne and Breece Hall who are going to be options for you this offseason potentially. So, like, do you want to see what Woody Marks is? Or do you want to put Joe Mixon back out there who's not going to be on the team? I would just keep Woody out there.
Yeah, but you also would like to preserve Woody, though. Like, you don't want Woody into the ground. Like, he's under contract for the next 3 years. And even if he's not your RB1, he's going to be a factor.
But I don't think they're going to, like, change the carry, you know, differential, like, the way it's going that much. I think we're going to see a lot of Nick Chubb. So even if Joe Mixon came back, it's Nick Chubb is getting released, most likely, and Joe Mixon is just taking the Nick Chubb carries. Like, he's not going to come back this year and be the every down back.
Wheatstraw says, I'm starting to think Joe Mixon is just no longer with us. There is photographic proof that Joe Mixon was enjoying some very good barbecue in the city of Houston. Mm-hmm. Couple of weeks ago.
I've seen the photo. It's real.
I mean, I have it at my disposal. I just, it's not my information to give out, so I haven't given it out. But I'll talk about it on the radio. This is okay. This is a safe space. Nobody hears us right now anyways.
You haven't named the place, so it's okay.
Yeah, I haven't named the place. Although it'd probably be good if I did.
Yeah.
It might be good that if I did.
We just in case they don't want it out there.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't put it on their... an individual that posted it on his Facebook. They didn't post it on their restaurants. Yeah. Socials at all.
Yeah.
Although they did post stuff of the event that it was taking place at. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. But no, it doesn't sound like Joe Mixon's going to return. The Chancellor.
DJ.
DJ.
Sarge.
Jonathan Alexander and Sarge have a podcast. And I saw a Twitter video clip about it. And Sarge threw out, and DJ agreed with them, that if Mixon's like good enough to play by week 10, like good enough but not quite 100%, that they shouldn't bring him back at all because he's going to be like rusty. It's going to take a while to find his groove. That if he's not ready by week 10, they shouldn't even bring him back at all.
I think context matters. Like if you're in week 10, you're in position to chase down a wild card spot, then Joe Mixon should come back as soon as he's ready.
Yeah, I do too. I didn't understand that logic, quite frankly. Like, I get that he's not going to be at 100%. Like, okay, he's healthy enough to play. He's not 100%. But is that going to upgrade the room? I think very clearly so. Mm-hmm. Like, even if he's only getting the ball 5 times a game and Dari's not playing a single snap at running back, I think that's an upgrade. Like, having the threat of Joe Mixon, I think, is an upgrade. And plus, if it's week 10, what about if it's week 15? Mm-hmm. Like, 5 weeks, you know, four, what is that? What difference does that look like? I thought that was kind of, I didn't agree with that take.
Yeah, I think it's also like, do you think your running back room's going to be healthy by the time Joe Mixon's ready to come back? The odds of that probably are no. Like they'll be beat up to some extent, whether it's Marks or Chubb. So if he's ready to go and your season's alive, I think it makes sense to have him play this year. If it's not, my guess is he's probably not going to want to play this year.
Like, if he's 70% at week 10, 75 at week 11, 80 in week 12, 85 in week 13, 90 in week 14, 95 in week 15, and he finally gets to 100% in week 16 or whatever number I just counted up to, is that helping your football team?
Yes.
Then why wouldn't you want him back?
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, unless, like, I really think it comes down to if Joe Mixon wants to play.
Yeah, it would.
Like, because, like, if he doesn't want to risk the injury being worse or doesn't want to, you know, just be out there because your season's over, then I wouldn't blame him for that. Like, he's going to go into free agency year. He'll know at that point pretty much what the Texans' plan is. Let's skip, and honestly, if the Texans, if the Texans' plan is to keep him in next season, to keep him part of this team next season, I think you're even less likely to play him, though. Like, if you're like, okay, Joe Mixon's going to be back next year, then I think you're less likely to have him play.
Yeah.
You're probably more likely to play if they're like, well, we're going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, well, then we'll save Woody Marks. We'll save Nick Chubb from carries. So I just think it's going to be one of those where I don't expect Joe Mixon to be a factor into the Texans roster this season.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, okay.
I don't either. But if he's ready to go by week 10, even if it's only 70%, I would gladly welcome him back. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, there's seven games left.
Yeah.
Play him.
He would be an upgrade, even if it was only three carries.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. Sarge and DJ both were thinking the same thing, opposite of what I'm thinking. Casario was asked about his tackles. He's very comfortable with his tackles, and a little bit back and forth here.
Yeah, I mean, we have four starting tackles in the building so right now, including Trent Brown. So, I mean, Cam's situation was, again, take all the information, evaluate it, and then in the end make the decision that we feel is best, you know, for the team and everybody involved. So it's no different. Our philosophy is the same. So have discussions, have dialogue. D'Amico and I talk about it. In the end, whatever we feel makes the most sense, that's what we do.
Blake is a starting tackle right now?
I'm saying we have four tackles that have started in the NFL. Is that accurate? Is that not accurate?
Yeah, I was just asking.
I'm saying we have four. Yeah, we have four tackles. Blake Fisher, Trent Brown. I mean, Trent started, 100 games in the NFL? So I'm saying we feel good about the people that are in the building. So, you know, that's what we decide to go with. So each week we'll evaluate it and figure out what makes the most sense.
There you go. There you go. A little tiff there.
They seem to not like each other.
You don't think so?
Or there's maybe it's good friction.
He made D'Amico mad the other day.
Yeah, well, I think Landry's the only one that has friction right now, but I think it's good. I think it's needed.
Well, I think friction's very good.
Brian T. Smith is gone. Someone's got
to
replace him.
There definitely needs to be the friction there.
Yeah.
You tell me Trent Brown's a starter? That's funny.
I guess in an emergency situation.
Well, he started 100 games in the NFL.
Well, he did.
Factual statement.
Back of the baseball card.
Back of the baseball card. He's a starter. Starter, baby. But that was funny. A little back and forth. Eric the Buyer, I understand Nick wants to play things close to the vest, but pretending like this team has no holes is just egotistical. Yeah. Did I use that term correctly? Yeah, you used the word correctly, but I think that if you had Nick Caserio like on Truth Serum, mm-hmm. I don't think he would tell you that we have no holes. I think that's just him doing the public persona thing.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly have holes on their roster. Let's start with left guard. Like, while Juice Scruggs looked like an upgrade this last weekend,
played every snap,
I think I'd still consider it a hole.
See, I was thinking about if you had to upgrade one offensive line spot, which one would it be? It's very obviously left guard.
Because
mm-hmm. all the other ones are fine. Like, Andrews has been fine. Ingram's been good. Titus has been good. Ursary's coming along. Like, left guard would be the one. Like, if I told you had to draft a first-round offensive lineman next year, and let's say you're picking in the late teens, early 20s, mm-hmm. like, you're probably going to take the best guard that's there.
No. Taking the best right tackle.
Because Titus is gone?
Titus is gone.
Nah,
Titus fair. Can play left guard for a year.
That's fair.
But if it was guard instead, because you're going to keep Titus.
Yeah.
Because they're in an interesting spot with Titus Howard. You're either going to have to extend him or replace him. Because Blake Fisher is not the replacement. I think it's very clear Blake Fisher is not going to replace him.
No. He's your third tight end right now.
Yeah. So you have to make some kind of decision about what you're doing at the tackle position this offseason, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to wait until the following year. And I think drafting a right tackle, moving Titus Howard to left guard would make the most logical sense for next season. But if you drafted a left guard, I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I think it's going to be the biggest need in the draft.
O-lineman?
Yeah. And maybe it's replacing Daniel Hunter would be the other option.
No, I think they can get by. I think they can get by with Will Anderson and other guys.
But like that's to me like the what's the priority going to be in the draft? I think those would be top two, I would imagine, as pass rusher and guard. I don't know what else would be on that
See,
list.
I don't know how much they would. I mean, obviously they value pass rusher a lot because they drafted Will Anderson very high mm-hmm. and traded a quarterback ransom for him, which it looks okay right now. But they also do pretty good of finding those guys.
They do,
like Taylor, Autry. They've had some good pieces,
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah, I just don't know where else, like, when you look at the Texans roster right now, to Nick Casario's point of not having many holes in the roster, I don't really know where else you go in the draft as we sit here right now.
He'll probably draft a receiver from Iowa State.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think he would draft a safety. I feel like Casario is very much one of those guys who believes in positional value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he would ever draft a running back in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't think he would ever draft a safety in the first round.
I could see him drafting a running back if they had a high enough pick.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, like what?
I think if it was the right player, he could do it.
Like, Caserio's first rounders have always been, like, high premium positions.
Corner, pass rusher, quarterback, guard. I guess I wouldn't call Kenyon Green high premium position. But he's done it before, so.
I mean, I think he looks at guards as a premium position, though. Because, like, if you believe the reports, they were trying to trade up for Booker, a guard.
Yeah.
Maybe even Gray Zabel. Because there was the part where they were trying to trade up in the draft, and they stopped the moment that Zabel was picked.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he does think that guard is a premium position.
Yeah. Now, how much do you factor in, like, what they were trying to do in the second round then? Because, like, they were trying to trade up reportedly for Trayvon Henderson as well. But that's a second-round pick, not a first-round pick.
I haven't seen those reports.
Yeah, it came out, I think it was right after the draft.
That'd been fun.
It was the Bears and the Texans were trying to trade up for Henderson, but the Patriots snagged
them. They specifically said Henderson, or they were trying to trade up to where the Patriots were picking?
I think it was for Henderson.
Okay, because that's different.
Yeah.
If you look at Caserio's draft, his first year, I mean, the first year he didn't have a first or second, so that's kind of irrelevant.
But he took a quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, he was third-rounder. And, like, their team was going nowhere
fast.
And
it was the right pick.
It was also ahead of Nico Collins. Yeah. He took Davis Mills ahead of Nico Collins. But he went corner with Stingley. He went guard with Kenyon Green. He did go Petrie safety in the second.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So, but first round for a second round is different. Like, people do, like, it is different. Like, it's more, typically it's more logical to, you know, take a safety in the second round than in the first round.
He's never really been that unconventional in the first if you believe that guard is a premium position. Because he's went corner, guard, quarterback, rush, edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a first rounder this year. Didn't have a first rounder in 24. This dude does not like first rounders.
Yeah, I guess it was, it's not specifically for Trayvon Henderson, but in the Forge and Foxborough series, the Patriots YouTube series, they show that he's on the phone. Elliot Wolf is on the phone with the Houston Texans. And the Texans are trying to trade up for the pick that Henderson ended up going. He was talking about the Bears and the Texans.
And that was pick 38?
Yeah.
I wonder if that was before the Texans traded up was it after they picked Higgins? They were on the clock?
I think so.
Huh. Interesting. I don't think they would have traded up there and drafted a running back.
I think Henderson's the one. If you're going to, Henderson's the guy, even though he's doing nothing in New England right now.
I wonder if they were trying to trade up to 38, though, for Ursary.
Oh, that's possible.
And he just fell to them at 48.
Yeah, they thought maybe the Patriots were going
to
take him.
Because that feels a little foolish to me that you would have traded up to 38. Because you're probably trading 48 to 38 plus a sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have drafted a tackle.
No, you probably would not have, which they desperately needed.
I want to believe that they were trying to trade up to 38 for Ursary. Because Ursary was the next tackle taken.
Yeah, it was. They offered 58. 79 and a third round next year, apparently.
Oh, so they still kept 48.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings running back in play there.
Yeah, if they're doing that.
If it was 48 plus sweeteners, I don't think it would have been for a running back. But if you keep 48 and it's all the other stuff, then I do think that it's possible you could have went running back there.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they traded.
What was the offer?
58, 79, and a third round pick in this upcoming draft.
And they traded 58.
For 48. They moved up
with
the Raiders for Ursary.
Oh, so it probably was for Ursary then. They probably were just trying to trade up for Ursary at that spot.
Because they thought maybe Chicago.
The rest of the way.
Maybe they thought Chicago was going to take him at 39 or something.
It had to have been, right?
Yeah, that's probably the most.
Like if you traded up to 48 and then you selected Ursary, I think they were trying to trade up for Ursary starting at pick 38 or a little sooner.
Yeah, even though if they took a running back, I wouldn't be upset.
I don't know, man.
I think.
Would you rather have Trayvon Henderson or Ariante Ursary?
Probably Ursary.
Yeah,
because it's like he's the left tackle. He won the job already, and it's a more premium position.
And Woody's been all right.
Yeah, no, Woody's good enough to where it doesn't. I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah,
like if Woody Marks was, I mean, the fact that he's playing as much as he is already is a win. Honestly, for it. So
the alternate realities we would have never known about Ursary, really. Like we would have like never let it into our minds because Cam Robinson would have been your starting left tackle, and we wouldn't be like, oh, they should have drafted Ursary, not Henderson.
No, but we'd probably be having this conversation if they probably should have traded up for a left tackle, not a running back.
Yeah, we just wouldn't have like the name. We wouldn't be like, oh, they should have traded up for Ursary. Here's one more from Caserio. He defends his offensive coordinator, which is probably his hire, Nick Kaley.
think it's evolved. So anytime any of us are put in a position for the first time, you're going to have to deal with some ups and downs, and it's a learning process. So we've all been there. I've been there. Nick's going through it. You look around the league, there's a lot of coaches that go through that. But got a good attitude, taking the right approach. There's always a little bit of give and take. And, well, you want to try a little bit more of this, but maybe that's not the best thing for the team. Hey, maybe we're going to shift our focus a little bit here. So Nick's a smart guy. He's been around football for a long time, seen a lot of things. I think we've made some adjustments and modifications as we've gone. So we've talked about this. You probably figure out kind of what you have with your football team over the first 4 to 5 weeks. So, we have kind of 5 games in the bank here a little bit. So figure out what we're doing well. What are some of the things that we can build on? And Nick's done a really good job. He's had a good attitude, had a good approach, worked really well with the staff, communicates with D'Amico on a regular basis, communicates with the players, trying to figure out what's in their best interests, what makes them comfortable. Because in the end, it's about the players. So a good job. Glad he's here.
There you go.
Glad he's here.
Find somebody that defends you the way that Nick Caserio defends Nick Kaylee Weiss.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, we work together because you love me.
I don't know if that's true. Nothing to do with me.
I know.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get to our mailbag. What are your questions for Jeremy and Joe? Ask us whatever you want, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.